So let me say a prayer, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about today, just kind of our congregation and kind of a state of where we're at. Dear God, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, we thank you for this institution, this organization, this bride of yours, the church, that it's universal and it's powerful and it's amazing. And yet we also thank you for the local outposts of the church. In this city, there are quite a few, and we just ask your blessing on each congregation that honors you and follows your word and shares the good news about your son. Lord, we just lift up our journey here, and we just thank you for where we're at, where we've been, and where we're headed. Lord, I just pray that we would be people who truly are sold out for you, true disciples, learners, that we're willing to sacrifice for your kingdom so that as many as possible will spend eternity in heaven, so that we can see addictions broken, marriages changed and saved, and see people's lives changed. Lord, I just ask for your blessing on each person here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, today will be a little different in that I'm not going to preach per se. I mean, I'll touch on some things, but we're just going to talk about, this is Journey's 10-year anniversary or birthday, and so just want to kind of talk a little bit about that. If you're new today, if you're a visitor, you know, normally I have a text and we look at that, and actually, just so you know, what's coming next week and the following weeks, we're looking at some things about like why we believe the Bible and just some of those basic questions. So it'd be a good time to bring a non-Christian friend to answer some of those. And so anyway, just kind of looking back, I want to look back and look around and look forward. And looking back, Journey began, we were down in Indianapolis, Deli and I, and just felt called to plant a church and looked at three cities, Seattle and Portland and Fairbanks here. And the reason Fairbanks was on the list is because my wife had grown up here, or at least spent part of her childhood here, and had some family here. And I'll be honest, I did not want to come to Fairbanks because of you hear stories of the cold, and you know it's far away, and you know thousands of miles from my family, and just you know all of those kind of things, the darkness. But I fasted and went without solid food for 30 days, and felt like God very clearly wanted us to come to Fairbanks and start a church. And I didn't actually like that answer. I don't know if you've ever done that with God, where you're like, I don't want to do whatever it is you're calling me to do. And so I actually waited, I think, a week or so, and then fasted another 30 days, no solid food. And God basically, it's like, I didn't stutter. I didn't make a mistake here. And so we felt like, for me and for her, we reached a point where we believed to not come and try and launch a church would be disobedience. And so that's what we did. And so we moved up here, took about a year to kind of lay the groundwork, and then 10 years ago, we had our first public worship service, and it's been an exciting thing, and it's been an amazing thing, you know, to go from just really our family in a minivan to really hundreds of people have been involved over the years, and it's just been exciting to see all that. You know, when I kind of look back, for me, a lot of goofy memories stick out, just little things like being surprised that we would have visitors when it's 48 below. That always surprises me, and yet we have that. Things like, you know, we've baptized a lot of folks in the life of Journey, and, you know, sometimes I'll forget and leave my wet clothes in the back of my car, and I go out in the next morning, and there's a big chunk of, you know, frozen clothing. Just little goofy things. There was a Sunday here where I preached, and the whole audience is wearing their coats because the heat wasn't working in this room for some reason. And then there was Brian Schmidt and Jay Pruce, and I went and tried to do an outreach at Arctic Man. I don't know how many of you have been to Arctic Man, but that was kind of fun. It was an interesting experience, and we set up a little table, and we had Bibles and videos and different things to give away, and we interacted with some folks. But it was so funny because it's, you know, here's the Journey booth at Arctic Man, and literally right across from us, I don't know, 20 feet away, was Team Hangover. That's what their big banner was. And so it was us and Team Hangover hanging out and trying to plant some seed. It was my first time I ever saw people drag couches behind snow machines. So that was kind of interesting. Felt like it was in a Jeff Foxworthy skit, you know. But it's just those little things. There's been impressive moments like Coe Roberts at age 7 quoting up in front of the church, James chapter 2 and 3. getting to take my two older boys to our Rite of Passage weekend, where we spend a couple days. Mike Edmonds leads this, and we kind of teach a biblical definition of manhood. And sitting down with Heidi and answering questions from her girls about the faith for like 2 hours, and then having the privilege of watching her son baptize one of the girls. Just those kind of things are exciting. And so what I wanted to do was, I just wanted to, you know, churches are about changing lives. And so I wanted Greg to get a microphone and go around and just share if there is some way that God has worked in your life. You know, if Journey had a hand in that, that's great, and we'd love to hear that. But we just want to give an opportunity for you as a group to kind of share, how has God been working in your life? What has he been doing? And so just raise your hand, and Greg will come to you. He's going to get his aerobic workout this morning, hopefully. So hopefully there's a few that are willing to do that. So.
Hello. I got to teach in the back with Children's Church, so I just quickly wanted to say that I'm so thankful for Journey. We've been here for about 4 years now, and not too long before we moved to Alaska, I was really in a lot of personal sin and lived in bondage to sin and really just spiritually bankrupt and spiritually dead and living in condemnation by God. And because of our local church in Tennessee, and because of good friends, and because of my wife, and because of the Bible, I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And as part of that, we really wanted to change our life and really change the way we were living. And so we moved here to Fairbanks. And, you know, I was really praying and hopeful that we would find a good Bible-believing, God-glorifying, grace-filled church. And so we just sort of opened the phone book and flipped around, and I saw this church that met in a movie theater. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But it is Fairbanks. So, you know, we came and we checked it out. And just from day one, this was really the place for us to be. And so I just want to praise God for his timing, because God always knows the right time, the right place, and exactly what we need. And so I just wanted to say that part of my testimony is I'm so thankful for Journey, because I've grown so much more in this last 4 years than I did in the first 30 years of my life. And a lot of that's because of the people here, because of the way God has used Derek in this church. So I just wanted to say I'm so thankful and happy that Journey exists and that Derek listened to God. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Greg, are there others that are willing to share a little testimony, what God's been doing in your life?
I'm Cody, and I came to Journey in 2010, and as an individual, single person, just living in Fairbanks, and this church really, you know, so many people just said hi and were very welcoming, but the first kind of outreach thing I did was go to a small group, and it was a women's small group. It was called Breaking Free, and to be an individual going anywhere by yourself is very scary, but I felt instantly connected and welcomed, and I think that was critical to me attending and joining Journey, so I think that's a really important part of what this church does. And then secondly, the people that it has led me to has really helped me, even in my career, expand everything that the outreach of what God can do. For example, I work for the university, and coming to Journey, I now know Jay Pruce, who allowed my team to come help at Habitat for Humanity. Simple little things have now exposed the work of God to, you know, these young adolescent women. And then secondly, it introduced me to people like Debbie and Mark, who Debbie took care of my baby for the first probably 6-7 months of her life. And that's just an amazing gift to have someone you can trust and love. And that all stems through Journey. And lastly, Derek and Tony have become real good friends of ours. Well, the whole family, but Derek's son, Tony, since he was like 9 years old, he kind of has become one of Chris's really good friends, even for just a young kid. And I just think that those are really special things that you can't have without the work of God and this church.
I was just going to say, I've been really impressed with the fact that Journey reaches out to so many different areas. I mean, everything from, you know, regular church to the halfway house, and even with Journey Underground. And I'm just glad that they reach out and they do so many different things in the community, because it keeps my wife busy, because I can't keep up with her.
Just raise your hand if you want to share something God's doing in your life or done. Or
Hello, I'm JD, and the world would call me an alcoholic. But this church has always called me a son of God. I've struggled with alcohol for a long time, and first started going to Journey Underground a couple of years ago. It's been a long but very educational journey, I just want to thank this church not only for helping me understand my relationship with God and what that's all about, and how God can take away addiction and God can save people from their sins, but just the love that I received, but the love that my wife and son received while we were going through so much turmoil because of my addiction. And all the glory goes to God, of course, but I'm so grateful that Journey was here and God used Journey to help us. I can say that I'm no longer drinking. My wife and I's marriage has been restored, and I just want to praise God for that. Thank you.
All right, cool.
What? I'm not loud enough without it.
No comment, Jen.
Yeah, well, it comes with being a teacher and trying to get a room of adolescents their attention. Real quickly, I came into the church because I married into it, which was kind of an interesting idea. But one of the things that Journey did for me and my husband were that we were not in a great place before Journey. And then you wonder where you have acceptance. And our particular problem was through divorce. And how does God see you, and how do you continue to be a servant under those circumstances? And one of the things that Journey allowed us to do was to, from that broken place, was to find a place where there was service for us, and allowed us to continue with a relationship with Christ, where we were allowed to grow from that, and to learn from that broken place.
Run as far as possible.
Good morning. My name is Kelly, and this is my first time at Journey, but I've been going to Journey Underground, and I thought maybe I better check out this part of the church since Journey Underground is part of your church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's hard to find a church that's where it's wholly spiritual filled, and that's what you need to look for in life. You know, the wholly spiritual filled church. And I noticed you guys did communion also. So I thought, oh, awesome. And then I have my granddaughter with me. And there's kids' church here, too. So that's, and that's what she likes about church is the kids' church. So.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Hi, good morning. My name is Chris. When I first, before I came to this church, I was pretty misguided as far as where I needed to go spiritually. So I remember distinctly I prayed. I did have religion in my life and when I was younger, and I kind of steered away from that, and I was kind of really misguided and troubled and in a real difficult place. So I did pray, and I asked God to point me in the right direction and to help me to get to where I needed to go. In that process, he gave me Cody, my wife, and we got married, and we've been very happy. And then one of the first things that that she had invited me to was to Journey Church, and I thought that was a really neat experience. We came here, and so this is probably like our second or third date, I would have to say. So I came here and I fell in love with the place. Derek's great, and I love what Derek has to say, and he's really influenced me on where I needed to go spiritually, and I couldn't ask for a better life at this point. And Journey's done a great thing for me and Cody.
So, Chris, did she tell you it was church or a movie?
Yes,
okay, I didn't know what you knew. You know, yeah. You never know. Yeah, we don't want to bait and switch here. So.
Hi, I'm Evan, and my wife, Sachi, and we have six kids. We came here with just our three boys, and our youngest boy was only about a year old. And so our kids have, our oldest boy then was only like four. Now he's 11, so it's been about 7 years. And our kids have grown up here, basically. And, you know, this is like the church they, the only church they remember. And they love it here. You know, sometimes Sachi and I, it's like maybe one of our kids is sick or something, and we're trying to anchor in at home, you know, take care of, you know, or two kids are sick or something like that, or three kids. But any of the kids that are well, it's like, you know, when they hear we're not going to go to church, like, oh, you know, they're so disappointed. They just can't wait every Sunday to come here. And one thing that I really appreciate about Journey is the freedom that I have to serve the Lord. I've just been encouraged by Derek over and over. Our heart is for Japan. And you know, one day my dream is to maybe start a church in Japan, or maybe go there and be a part of a church that's starting up, or I'm not sure what exactly, but Derek has always really been encouraging, you know, like, go and we'll support you as best as we can or however we can. And we did a Japanese fellowship kind of here in town. We had a few other Christian Japanese believers that we began to meet every other Sunday. And Derek was really encouraging, you know, just go do that and give yourself to it. And, you know, and however we can help you, you know, if you can, if you need a van, or if you need help with supplies or renting the space, however, you know, we'll be there. And that's been a real blessing for me. Just, I feel like, you know, in this church, there's opportunity to grow and to express, you know, to engage in the kingdom of God, and I have real liberty and freedom to do that, and I'm, it's a blessing for me.
Okay. I don't know if anybody else, probably need to wind it down here, but are there? We good? Okay. All right. Well, I just, you know, it's all about God changing lives, and that's what churches to be about, and that's what we try to do is allow people to connect to Christ, and I believe He changes us and helps us to become all that He wants us to be. And when I look back at 10 years, and this is the thing about being a minister, I wish you knew every story I knew, because we can only share a small percentages of the stories, because not everybody's comfortable telling their stories. And I appreciate those of you who've been vulnerable and shared when you've had difficulties or faced addictions, because that can be hard to do. And we just have seen so much just amazing life change. And I've just seen people walk away from real bondage and to be transformed. And I've seen marriages that honestly counselors wouldn't have given a nickel for, and God has put it back together, and just there's just been some amazing things. And so when I look back over 10 years, I think, you know, God loves to change lives, and that's what we want to be about. Another just lesson that kind of leaps out at me as I look back is that God faithfully provides. And we really have been amazed. And I just want to say thank you to you, because the primary way that God provides is His people being generous and gracious. And we've seen that. And we've seen, you know, God show off, which has been fun. You know, we finished 30 days of prayer, and right after that, and it was just one of the things we prayed for was, you know, finances on this whole building project that we're doing. And I get a call from Indiana, and they had no idea we're doing a 30 days of prayer, and that's one of the things we're praying about. And this couple calls up and says, hey, we're going to give, you know, $20,000 to your building fund. And, you know, God's just showing off, and they're not even part of our church, but they just know what we're doing and know what we're about. And I love that. And we had somebody internally here who said, you know, I'm going to sell my vehicle, and sold their vehicle and gave that money to the congregation, most of it to the building fund. And I think it added up to $25,000. And so we just have seen some neat things. We've had two capital campaigns, one to get the land, one to work towards the building. And in both of those, we've had an individual step up and give the church $100,000. And he didn't even go to our congregation. They don't even live here. And it's just amazing when God shows off. But I will tell you that the primary way he does that is just people faithfully and generously and sacrificially giving on a regular basis. And I just want to thank you for that. God also has faithfully provided people. And you look around, and I mean, we've had interesting stories where, like, you know, Amy's running the computer here. Mike and Amy moved up from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Amy's full time with us on, you know, secretarial and treasurer. That's her role, and Mike worked with children's ministry and is still very much a key volunteer. And we've seen God do that, move people around. And I remember when our worship leader that was here moved out. You know, this is a pretty transitional town, and a lot of people move out eventually. And we had a worship leader move. Her husband got a new job in Oklahoma, and so they moved. And my wife said, you know, the worship leader we need is a guy like, you know, somebody like Dave Wilcoxon, somebody that she knew from years before up here. And God sent us the actual Dave Wilcoxon rather than just somebody like Dave Wilcoxon. And he and his wife have been here for several years. And we've just seen really neat things like that. And just people, you know, when Mike stepped away from children's ministry, we looked around and I called people all over the country who we're going to bring in, because that's a vital part of who we are. And most people make decisions for Christ when they're kids. That's when most people tend to make those choices. And so, you know, I'm looking all over, and then I'm like, well, you know, the right person is right here, and we hired Jessica. And so it's just been fun to watch how God does that, and how God has, and he'll change people and then set them free to minister. I mean, we've seen so many people come to Christ, and we watch them blossom. Then they become a small group leader, or they work with teens, or they work with kids, or whatever it is. And it's just been fun to see. And so we see that God faithfully provides. You know, I'm grateful for the leadership he provides. We have the two Daves as elders, along with myself, and that's been very helpful. You know, we have the property that God provided, which was, I think, another example of God showing off. And Jay may talk a little bit about that. But we just had neat things happen over the years. And so we've had teams come in from the outside. And this summer, a lot of the progress out on the property, some was your volunteer hours, and some were these teams that came in and stayed for a week and worked for free for us and brought some real skill sets. Some concrete guys poured the foundation, and it's just been fun to see all of that. And so we see God provide. And then the last thing I wanted to say when it comes to kind of looking back, is I just wanted to mention, my wife's over here, Deli. She's the redhead, and I just want to just be just real open and tell you that, you know, this has been a marathon for us. I mean, it's, you know, we took a year kind of ramp up, and then 10 years, and she is, I mean, every bit of church planner that I have been. And I remember a few times in the early days where we unloaded the truck out there alone, you know, with stuff. And thankfully we don't do that anymore, although we do still help with things. But it's just, she has been by my side the first 6 years of this kind of 11-year experience for us, but 10 years of the church being, you know, officially open. You know, I worked a second full-time job, and, you know, she really bore the weight of that and had to help with the children more than, you know, than I could do. And I was working graveyard shift. And so I asked my daughter to take my wife some flowers. And why don't we just give her a hand? Because she's one of those unsung folks. So I just appreciate that, because we wouldn't have gotten here without her. I mean, honestly, Fairbanks would not have been on my list without her. it would not have been there. But I love Fairbanks, and it's worked out, and I think God knows best. So then I just want to mention a couple things as we look around. I think it's important as we look around. Let me just give you a couple statistics. I like numbers. I think numbers are interesting. Depending who you read, but the majority position, what I read from most church experts, is the average church in America is 50 to 80 people. A few might go as high and say, well, the average church is closer to 100. But And our, just so you have some idea, our average church attendance here at Journey, it's 140 this year, 149 in the morning, 53 at our Journey Underground, which is our recovery service, and for a total of 202 per week is our average for this congregation, you know, this year so far. And what's also interesting is to see the generosity and how we have matured in this. You know, average giving per week last year was $6,819. I mean, to rent this place is very expensive. We have thousands of dollars of equipment, insurance, salaries, all the things that we do. We give away an awful lot. Average this year, so it was $6,819 a week last year. Average giving this year so far has been $8,520 per week. That's up 24%. And the economy's not that great. And so you all have been generous. I think you should give yourselves a hand for that. And God just being gracious there. Last year's building fund giving was about $44,000. So that's above and beyond the regular general fund. You know, that's what pays the bills. And this year it's been about $95,000 so far. That's more than doubled. And that's, you know, that's what it takes to get this project done. I mean, it's, I chuckled when I looked at the bulletin this morning. If you look at the bottom, it says building fund and it says zero. Well, we have poured a lot of money this summer, had a great build season, got a lot done. And, you know, $100,000 just in that foundation alone. And so we kind of have to fill up the coffers again so that we can move forward. But just so you have some idea, so beyond our general fund giving and all that, this project, the land and all those things, we put in about $871,000. That's startling and it's stunning and it's amazing. And so, so just want to commend you on that. About half of American churches do not have a single baptism in an entire year. The ones that do have baptisms typically take about 85 members per year to have one baptism. And so, you know, and so 85, so basically you take your attendance and you divide 85 into it. And that gives you kind of what a church expert would expect as far as people stepping up and saying, hey, I want to follow Christ, be baptized into the faith. And we've had 10 so far this year. So you would expect us to have two or three in a year. We've had 10 so far this year. And typically we run about 15. And I think we'll hit that again this year. And I love to see so many of our folks. They don't just do that and kind of disappear, because you see that sometimes, but they maybe go get an individual spiritual plan that we offer, or they get involved in small groups and they start to blossom and to serve and to be truly kingdom minded. And so, you know, I love to see that. I love to see, we've seen several fathers fairly recently, like John Dixon and some others, baptizing their children. And I love to see that spiritual leadership being exercised. Obviously, moms do spiritual leadership as well in the home, but there's a special role that fathers have to set that tone in their home, and I love to see that. We emphasize small groups here because I believe that we're to do life together. And that's how you get to know people, is to get together with 4, 10, 15 people and study the Bible or study a curriculum or pray together and really do life together. And that's crucial. And so Brian Roberts is in charge of that. And just to give you an idea, last week we had 104 people involved in at least one of our small groups. And he's done a lot of work for that. And so I just encourage you, if you haven't, go to the website, or there's some stuff out on the table. We can point you in the direction. There's lots of options, and it's one of the things I love that we do. I mean, it's not uncommon to, you know, go to Denny's on a Monday and there's, you know, 10, 12 people from Journey studying the Bible off in the corner of the restaurant. And so we have lots of opportunities for that. And that kind of brings up another thing. As I look at 10 years, God works outside the walls of the church, not just here, but, you know, we try to be out in our community at the fair and at Golden Days and up at the university. I go pray with Cody's basketball team, ladies basketball team. And, you know, I go teach leadership occasionally, invited by a non-Christian professor up at UAF. And we really do try to kind of look beyond just here and go out and be in the community and in the kingdom. One neat thing the last 2 years is we've seen a group that, and it's mainly teenagers, but some adults, Marcy and Jay, it's kind of a joint between, and the Plessingers, Phil, and others. They basically, it's a joint between us, an effort between us and Habitat for Humanity, and go do some projects in Minto, a Native Alaskan village. And we've done that 2 years now, and my hope is we will just continue to do that and build those relationships. I think it gets better and better as you get to know people better. And so we want to just expand God's kingdom. One of the things that we do that a lot of churches don't do, but I think it's crucial, Amy, if you can put the chart up there, the church planning chart, and I bring this out and talk about this occasionally because I want you to see it. This is a big investment that we make. We as a congregation tithe on everything to a church planting organization. We partner with them so that we can plant churches across North America. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but basically, so you have Journey at the top, which is just a house, and that's kind of how it started. But you have Daughter D1 over there to the left. And that's Daughter Church 1. That was in Meridian, Idaho. We put about $50,000 into that one. Then you have D2. That is Corvallis Church, and that's in Corvallis, Oregon. Supposedly, according to the stats, we had the least church county in the United States. And that church is running about 100 people, and it is 3 years old. Its birthday is today, and they're doing real well. We've brought Mike up, the planter, and you've met him. And then you have D3 over here. That's Daughter Church number 3, and that's about to launch. I mean, they're on the field, and they're doing small groups. But as far as public worship services, that's really here in the next few weeks. And that's in Seattle. It's called Common Table. And this is what happens if we plant a church every 5 years and they plant a church every 5 years, and you go down and really that bottom row is, and we'll lose some along the way. Church planting is hard, but if you go along that bottom row, that's about, you know, I'm mid-40s. That's about like my retirement years is when I would maybe head into retirement unless you kicked me out earlier. But that it's amazing what could happen if we're just faithful at planting churches. And if those that we planted, if we have that as part of their DNA, and they agree to that they will be about kingdom expansion, not just their community, not just their church. And like I said, these are significant investments, $50,000 for all three. We're not there yet on the third one, but we will get there. And actually, Seattle's a high cost of living place, kind of like Fairbanks. So we'll probably put $60,000 into Daughter number 3 before we move on to the fourth one. And so I want you to understand that. And then the international side is a whole lot cheaper, and we're going to try to do that as well in India and Nepal. Nepal, I love. That's like bargain basement discount church planting. You can put a church planter on the field and basically pay the expenses for $50 a month, and so we want to do that, and so you can plant churches in Nepal, because it's a third world country, basically, for about $3,000 per plant, and you've given them a good start, and so that's going to be another whole side of it and another piece of it as well. So, but I want you to see that, because I want us to understand that we are not just the last link in the chain, that we are paying it forward, that we want to meet. I want you to be spending a lot of your time in heaven meeting people that I think God will draw all the lines, and they will come up to you and say, so you were involved at Journey and you gave at Journey. You know, that helped create the church that I came to Christ in, and I think they're going to thank you, and I think that we're going to see all those relationships come together and be exciting. And so we are called to expand His kingdom and to think beyond ourselves. And then I just want to mention a couple prayer requests, some things for you to be praying about. One is just that we will be that we'll be evangelistically effective. Compared to the average American church, we're doing a great job and doing well, but we can always do better. There are thousands of lost people in this community, in our public schools, at your work, in your own family, your next door neighbors. And so I just want us to be a praying church, praying for the lost that are around us. A second is that we need continued miraculous giving to our building fund to move forward and give Journey a base, a home. And so be praying about that on a regular basis. And then kind of a sub-point to that is pray for protection for our work site out there. Unfortunately, Fairbanks has this problem where construction sites get hit a lot, and we've been hit like 5 times with theft out there at our construction site, and that's frustrating, and it can be upsetting. And so I just encourage you to pray about that as well. God certainly can take care of that. I'd love to see some of the thieves come to Christ and bring some stuff back and apologize. Wouldn't that be a cool story? You know, the Bible says pray for your enemies, and if someone's stealing from a church, either they're going to get a special room in hell, or they're going to come around, and it's going to be a good news kind of story. And I'm always rooting for the good news kind of story. I'm always hoping that someone will be touched and changed because we prayed for them and reached out to them. And so, and then the final thing just to be praying about and thinking about is volunteers. I just want to say, the folks that volunteer here at Journey, I would take our core, those that are just, you know, rolling up their sleeves and doing it, and stack you up against any church in the country. And I mean, it's amazing. Hauling in for 10 years equipment in and out of this movie theater, sometimes at 60 below, you know, teaching children, visiting prisoners. I mean, every Wednesday night we pull off a service at the North Star Halfway House to 40 to 60 prisoners. It depends on the night. The volunteers here with the kids and hospitality and all those things, I think you are amazing. But some aren't volunteering, and I would just encourage you to consider it. You know, is there one thing that you could do to serve here? Is there one thing you could do to serve the kingdom? Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's to be a big brother or big sister, and that's mentoring thing. I mean, we all have families. We all can only do so much. But what is God's call on you to serve? Find that niche and serve and be a volunteer. I will tell you that there are gaps in what we do. You know, I mentioned earlier this rite of passage weekend that we do for boys, teenage boys, and teaching them what does it mean to be a Christian man? What does that look like? And it's a great program that Mike Edmonds has poured a lot of time and effort into. You know, he needs help with those kind of things. But, you know, we've done that twice, and as my daughter reminds me, who just turned 15, we don't do one for the girls. Well, we don't have the volunteers that have said, we'll run with that, we'll take care of that. And that's not something that, you know, the men can do. We'll need some ladies to run with that. That's just one little gap. College age ministry. You know, we have this campus up here, this UAF. It's this huge opportunity. And we've made a couple runs at that. But we could use some volunteers who say, you know what? I think God's calling me to work with college kids and reach out to college young people. I mean, those are just a couple things. You know, we always need help in children's ministry or set up tear down. But think about and pray about volunteering. We need volunteers. It's a huge part of what we do. So I just want to thank you for your partnership. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dave Goff, because part of our future, you know, I point a little bit with this church planting piece and trying to reach lost people in this town, but part of our future is tied to our base, this home for Journey, this building. So Dave Goff is our project director. He's also one of our elders, and he's going to get up and share a little bit about how that's gone this summer. And then after him, Jay Pruse is going to talk a little bit about the capital campaign. And you guys have done great. You've been incredibly generous. But we just want to encourage you. It's going to take continued sacrifice and generosity. And so let me pray, and I'll turn it over to those guys. Dear God, I thank you for this group here. I thank you for our volunteers, Lord. They are just so precious, and they get it done. And Lord, they, you know, haul equipment in incredible cold. And Lord, I thank you for those who are greeters and work with kids and do behind the scenes things. And just it's amazing what all is involved. And visit prisoners and tell them that God loves them and hasn't forgotten about them. Lord, I thank you for those who come alongside those struggling with addiction and pray for them and mentor them and sponsor them. Lord, we're grateful for all who've stepped up in that kind of role. Lord, I just thank you for the way you've blessed this church. I thank you for where we're at. We've come a long way from my family and I in a minivan, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for decades of effective service ahead of us. I pray for a building that is a wonderful home for us, a base of operations in the city, so that we're no longer a church that the banner appears for 4 hours at the Regal and then it disappears. Lord, I just pray that you will provide for us. We thank you for the moments where you have shown off. We thank you for the generosity of your people. We pray for your continued leading and provision and guidance and blessing on our lives. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, I was asked to give kind of a overview of what has happened this year out at the property. And I know Amy is going to be showing some photos up there, too, of different things that have happened. But, you know, when we think back, we started this summer with a large hole on the property that was 10 feet deep and the footprint of the building plus in size. And we had to fill that hole. And, you know, looking at the cost to haul stone in and gravel was pretty cumbersome. And we were blessed with the ability to haul in coal ash and put that in the hole. And even though we got a lot of rain this summer and it kind of bothered everybody, we were getting so much rain, it was actually a blessing to us on the site because it kept that coal ash watered, helped us as we compacted that material and got it into place. And it was actually really a blessing with our construction site to be able to get that to settle out and really compact into place. Then we had two work teams that came in, and I deal with work teams all the time out at the camp, and you never know what you're going to get for skill set for sure. And the first team that was coming out, they said, well, we've got some carpentry skills and we can do some carpentry and we'd like to do that for you. And so we hired a contractor to get some concrete in for our building, for the extra building, our garage building over there. And this team came in, and they were running a little behind with the concrete work, so they actually preformed all the walls over and underneath our pavilion. And then we brought them over to the site and stood up the walls, and they started putting the insulation up on the exterior of that and getting that enclosed and got it prepped for the next team that came in. The next team came in, and they said, well, we can pour the whole foundation for you. And we weren't quite ready for the foundation, but after a day, we got it all graded out. And they started working on organizing and getting ready to pour the concrete. And they said that they could do that. And then the rest of the team started working on enclosing the rest of the building. So they got the roof on the building and took care of that, while the majority of the crew started working on the concrete pad. So we had to put some plumbing in the pad and get everything done. And that team was here for a week. And by the end of the week, they had all our concrete poured. And that was between rain showers as well. On top of that, we were able to take some of the stone that we needed out of our pond. And that did a couple of things for us. First of all, gravel costs about $8 to $9 a yard to purchase in town. And then you have to truck it onto the site. We were able to pull it out of the pond with a local excavator for about $2 a yard. And we didn't have to truck it. So we pulled in total somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 yards out of that pond. That also helps us with our geothermal that we're going to be doing with heating the building and reducing the costs for long term on taking care of the building. So it stands today with the pad poured. Our goal is this next year is to get teams in early, start to put the rest of the, we got to put another 2 inches of flooring on, put our heat piping in that, and go from there, get our forms laid out, and then start framing up the building. We've already been contacted by 3 teams that are interested in coming up. So, you know, they've been a big blessing, as well as several people from the church have been out volunteering numerous hours, either running and getting supplies or helping with doing insulation or extra work on the building or even running in some of the electrical and helping with the concrete crew and providing meals for them as well. So it's been an incredible year. We got the parking lot formed in and shaped up. We moved almost all the stone over into the parking lot. I had kind of estimated that it was going to cost us about $200,000 for the parking lot, and I think we've got about $40,000 into it at this point, and a lot of it's in place. So it's been an incredible year. We've seen a lot of stuff get done. We're working right now, and it could use a little bit of help just to finish off that garage building. We got the overhead door in place, but we got the two rails to run the rest of the way up in the ceiling, and then the service door to put on. And then I think I've got somebody that's going to be taking care of the electrical work probably in a couple of weeks out there and get our heating in place this next week or two to keep our truck in so it's heated over the summer or over the winter and able to bring it here without worrying about it not starting on a Sunday morning. So thank you all for all that you've done. Without the whole team here, it couldn't happen. And just continue to pray for the teams that want to come in and help us out and continue to volunteer and help out. This time I'm going to call Jay forward, and he's going to share about the building campaign.
It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be up here because I'm going to be driving the computer. We're going to talk about what the church is going to look like. We've got the foundation in place, and we've got a 3D rendering here of what we hope to have by Journey's 11th birthday, or this time next year. So, if you haven't been out there, this is where the church is located. We are on the Parks Highway, and where Airport Road comes in, and we are right here on the Chena River, right across the street from the dinner boat. So we've got an excellent piece of property. It's a very valuable piece of property. God had a big hand in that. We are in an excellent location. We have room for growth. And this is a piece of property that we can grow and really serve and do all the different things that we do. So let's just take a look. As you can see, this is where the parking lot is going to be. We've got two entries here. The storage building that you saw in the pictures is over in this area. Let's go in and take a closer look at what's going on here. Now, one of the things we did is we started with the ponds here. This is one of the features that we have. And we got the gravel out of there. So these ponds now are nice and deep. There's clean water in there. We plan on doing baptisms in there. And this area over here at the end of the pond, we're going to turn that into an amphitheater so that you have natural seating so that we can have concerts and so forth that overlook the water. Now, the building itself that overlooks the ponds, this area right here over to the side is going to be Pastor Derek's office. And right now, we don't have any windows in there, but we'll have some windows in there. The interesting thing about this piece of property after we dug out the ponds is that it looks like this part is like overhanging the water. So we don't want this part of the building to fall in because Derek will probably be sitting at his desk when it happens. So we had to shore this up in this area. The actual exterior of the building, we plan on making it aesthetically pleasing. You could see how the architect has done a rendition where we're thinking about some stone down at the bottom and access way. So as you drive in from the highway, this will be the main entryway that you can come and drop people off. And the thing I want to tell you about construction is that if you've been out to the site and you've stood on top of the foundation, the actual building, once it's built, will feel so much bigger than the foundation. Now, the foundation that's out there is big. But I do want to tell you, once you enclose it, it's just something in the construction thing that the building will be much bigger than you think it is when you look at the foundation. So with these people standing here, you kind of get the scale of what the feel is going to be when the building is complete. And this will be the main entryway. And one of the things way back when, Mike Edmonds did a great speech to what is a church going to look like. And, you know, it's going to be an Alaskan church. When you look at it, it's not going to just be a box. We're going to put some logs in here. It's going to be some timber frame, impressive stuff, so that you know that you are in Alaska when you come to an Alaskan church. And the parking lot and everything, we've got massive amounts of of coal ash under here. One of the things that most people don't realize is that as a consequence of Hurricane Sandy, the federal government decided that the floodplains in the entire country were too low and literally set the new floodplains 4.5 feet higher than what they had been before. So this building that we had to build is 4.5 feet higher than what we were originally anticipating. And this is affecting us in Habitat for Humanity as well. It drives up the cost of everything. So we really were blessed when we were able to get the coal ash fill. And it would have to be a flood of biblical proportions before we would even get our feet wet in the parking lot. So let's go over here and take a look inside the building. So let's take a look at the first floor. So we do a cutaway, and this is the first floor. As you walk in, you'll see that there's a large area for meet and greet so that we can get together. This area over here is going to be our dining area. This is the commercial kitchen that will feed into the dining area. We'll be able to even have some meetings in here. This right here, this little box that you see, is the elevator that goes up and down the stairs. We have family-friendly bathrooms, and we have large multi-purpose rooms off to the side here that we can take the dividers out, and this can become a large two different rooms that we can use. And if we go over here to the end of the building, we can look inside the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is going to, we plan at this point, to have exposed trusses with interior support columns. And what's our seating capacity? We're at 380. Yes. Is that right, Dave? 400. All right. So we can seat 400 in here. And it's going to be really neat. Really nice. You can see, peeking through here, you can see the dining area, and this is where people will come in. And then let's take a look at upstairs. There it is. Okay. And upstairs, we have another large room, and then you can see all the classrooms. So the Journey is all about small groups, and we do church outside of Sundays, but now we'll have the ability to do Sunday school. And one of the things that we said is we don't want to build this building. This is one of Derek's tenets, is we don't want to build this building and then have it be empty 6 days a week. It needs to be something that's used during the week. And we will make this building available not just for our activities, but for other groups as well that want to use some of these facilities. You can see right here, this area up here will be overlooking the dining area down below. Now, we used to have a spiral staircase right there, but that was eliminated when it went through the state review. We'll see what we can do about that. But I'm really excited. Dave and I, we are looking at the different potentials for what are the walls going to be built out of. We want to heat this with geothermal heat. We want to keep our costs down going in to the future. We're looking at super insulated panels for the exterior. So we'll be looking at that and maybe placing an order for that over the winter holidays so that the shell of the church could be built. And we could have it shipped in so that at breakup we start putting the walls up, and the walls for the shell could go up in literally a week or two. So you will see overnight potentially a dramatic change in what's going on there. Not that what we've done this year hasn't been dramatic, because it has been. So this is kind of a feel of what we have coming at us in the future. I hope you're as excited as I am, and we've got some neat stuff going on. So with that, let's pray and take up the offering. Heavenly Father, we just we ask for your guidance. We thank you for the blessings in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for this 10th birthday of Journey. Thank you for everything that you've been involved with along the path of those 10 years. Heavenly Father, we don't want to build this church as a monument to ourselves, but as a tool for you to use And Heavenly Father, we ask you to lead, guide, and direct us and use us as you will in the furtherance of your kingdom, reaching those in need and being a light in the darkness. Heavenly Father, thank you just so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, let's do announcements real quick. I did want to share just a couple of numbers. I know that Derek talked about a few of these numbers before while we take up the offering. We've spent over $800,000 to get to this point on the building. We have started another capital campaign. It was actually November last year that we kicked off the second capital campaign, and we had basically $500,000 pledged towards the capital campaign. What we've seen so far in the last year is $200,000 has been given. So here we have let's do the math here for a minute. Here we have a three-year capital campaign that was $500,000 was pledged, and yet in less than 1 year, we've already had $200,000 given. And what's neat is that we're getting a lot of outside giving too. So we're being faithful and giving to our pledges inside the church. There's others outside of the church that are supporting us. Sort of like what we do when we support Corvallis and our daughter churches, there are other churches supporting us as well, and that's been very successful. So the other thing that I wanted to point out, and that Derek mentioned it earlier, is that if you look on the bulletin and down at the bottom it says building fund to date, there's a big fat goose egg right there. That's actually a good thing. Let's not get nervous about that. That means that we spent every penny that we had available to get all the stuff done that we had this year. So we didn't leave anything on the table in terms of getting things done. So what do we do moving forward if we have $0 in the building fund to build this huge church? Well, this group here has been so faithful, and we've gotten so many neat things done that Mount McKinley has looked at our books, and they have approved us for a $2.7 million loan. So we have the ability to move forward, get this building done. Now, one of the things that we don't like to do is to go into debt, so we're going to have to take a leap of faith and step into it and know that this is what we need to do. We need to get our building built. We probably, now that it's been 10 years, we need to get out of this movie theater. And the people in this room and the people that are going to come, we're in a unique position. We're going to be part of something that's big, that's going to be lasting in Fairbanks, and it's all going to be to the glory of God. So that's pretty neat. All right, announcements. The big one is that Journey Underground is moving, and they're going to be over in the J.P. Jones Community Center, and that's happening next week. And the CareNet Pregnancy Center is having something on Monday. And I can't see it. They're having their fall banquet on Monday. And you guys, I'm sure your glasses are better than mine. So there's the other stuff that, okay. I'm going to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again. We want to go forth. We want to spread the good news. We want to evangelize. We want to live the good life so that others can look at us and say, what is it about them that makes them different? Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings, everything about Journey, everything that's happened over the last 10 years, and all the things that are going to happen in the future, to the glory for you forever and ever. Amen.